Okay. So thank you for doing this for me.
Yeah, of course.
So you're the director of esports, and you're Caitlin, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit of background, so people who aren't familiar with the program. Was there a program before you started here?
There was not.
There was not a program. When you were hired, did you come in with, like,
like work experience?
I'm sorry. Did you start from scratch, or did you come in with some experience yet?
Gotcha. Previous to this job, I had been working in the esports industry for about 4 years. Most of my work was in marketing and event management. So coming here to build this program, those two things really helped to kind of establish our branding and establish the way we coordinate things, the way we, you know, run practices and competitions, things like that, or the competitions we participate in, rather.
Mm-hmm. And so you were hired in spring of 2020, I read.
Mm-hmm.
When you heard that spring break was being extended, did you ever think that school was going to be canceled?
So it was really interesting because I signed my official offer letter the Friday of spring break, I think, and that's when we were told we weren't coming back to campus. So at the time, I didn't really know how.
You did so good.
Thank you.
No, seriously, Tanya and I were whispering. No, seriously, I may have to ask you for some pointers. You did really, really good.
Let's do it.
See you.
Bye.
I feel like it's usually not this busy on a Friday.
Yeah.
But no worries. So when I got the news that we weren't coming back to campus and that we'd have to work remotely, I didn't really think we would be working remote for so long. My expectation was come fall we'd be back on campus, but obviously that didn't happen.
Were there any obstacles you expected?
I don't think anyone really knew what to expect other than, you know, technical difficulties of working remote. And, you know, with that, you know, when you're working remote like that, it's really hard to build relationships on campus, especially with other departments, not seeing people face to face and, you know, not being able to just walk over to someone's office. I think that definitely posed some challenges.
Did you think there was an easier transition because you're working with students who probably had experience with technology?
I think we had a little bit of a head start because of that. But I think there also has to be a lot of credit given to those that kind of jumped into technology because of the pandemic, right? Like learning how to navigate Zoom, learning how to navigate all these new online resources, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think we had a little bit of a head start, but I mean, with such a push to virtual learning and virtual working, I think we all at the same time had to learn, right?
Yeah. So was there a lot of, do you think that you probably had a lot more events online that included people, like casual gamers?
It's hard to say because we really don't have anything to compare it to, you know what I mean? I guess it depends on how you measure, you know, what is the success of an online event. If one person shows up, is that a success? If 20 people, if more than 20, it's really hard to measure. But I think what we saw was that there was a lot of support online, right? And that comes in a lot of different forms. So not just people coming to our virtual events, but people engaging with our Twitter posts and our Instagram posts and the things that, you know, we were collaborating with. So that's, I think, some of the virtual success we saw was just that online engagement, because it's kind of hard to count, you know, how do you really quantify someone who shows up to a virtual event, because you don't really show up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Were there, do you think there's things that definitely didn't work out you saw, or do you think there's, like, techniques that you...
You know, again, it's hard to say, because we really didn't have anything to compare it with. I mean, even looking at other esports programs at different universities, we were all figuring out how to do these things at the same time. I mean, granted, before universities had like esports arenas or esports programs, there were just gaming clubs on campus, and then the students would operate primarily online. So that's something that we really looked at, was, you know, if it's been done online before, it can be done online again. And
so now that you're back on campus, do you think that there's a difference, like, being face to face? Do you think there's more relationships? Like,
I think, like, the work itself can be done anywhere, but like you said, the relationships, I think that's really the key component, or really the key thing that we've seen develop, is students who, you know, all last year played remotely are now getting to meet their teammates. I mean, it definitely makes for some interesting interactions. You know, we've had students come into the arena and someone ask, you know, who are you? And it's like, I'm your teammate. You know, they'd never met before. They'd never seen each other before. And so you sometimes get those kind of situations. But I think, you know, having players and teammates just physically in the same room, you know, playing a match or practicing, has helped to build some of those really strong team bonds that are needed on any team, really.
I saw that you had, like, a League of Legends watch party. Was that one of, like, the first of, like, gaming watch parties in, like, not just in person, mm-hmm. but did you often have those, like, online also?
So, yes and yes. Well, let me expand. So the League of Legends viewing party was our first in-person esports event, where we invited the community to a physical location. Prior to that, we did do some online events, but we hadn't done a watch party for an esports event. We had done, like, a watch party or a viewing party for movies, but this was our first esports event in person, and it just so happened to be a watch party.
And were there any COVID precautions that the university had you follow?
I wouldn't say there was anything that we specifically had to follow other than the guidelines that we've been using all semester. So we really just followed that and didn't run into any issues.
So there's nothing they specifically, you didn't have to ask permission or anything for, like, specific?
You know, we have to reserve the room and, you know, say how many people are going to be there, things like that. And once that got approved and we established that we'd be using the school's COVID protocols, everything was pretty much checked out at that point, mm-hmm. in a good way.
And how many people do you think showed up in person?
We had 20 people show up.
20 people.
At 7 a.m. on a Saturday.
Well, so that's a lot for a morning.
Yeah, I think so. So I think that was a success.
That's good. Do you think there will be any more, like, watch parties type of things in the future?
Yeah. So we're actually, we're planning more events in the spring. They're not going to be too large, but our goal is to have that similar, you know, 20 to 30 people show up. Right now we have plans for an open house in the arena in the spring, and we're working with the business school to coordinate a tournament. So, you know, we're hopeful and things, you know, take time to plan, but from the success that we saw in the viewing party, I think we can mirror that elsewhere.
Are you prepared to, in case things have to go back completely online?
Yeah, 100%. We have contingency plans on contingency plans. Like, if we have to go 100% remote, we know exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it. We don't want to do it, but if we have to, we're prepared.
That's good. I think Are there any like casual game nights for students?
Yeah, so one of the things that we've learned along the way is, or one of the things we're trying to figure out is like the happy medium for gamers of all walks of life, because some people want really competitive games at a high frequency, mm-hmm. whereas other people may want much less competitive games at a much lower frequency. So it's been a challenge figuring out what works best for a large group of people. And what we're deciding on, or what we've decided, is that come springtime we're gonna include more game nights but have it more varied. So maybe another Minecraft night, you know, in February, but come March we'll do Valorant, something like that, so that we can again have a larger audience or appeal to a larger audience.
Yeah, I saw that there was like the Dean of Students like Among Us night. Mm-hmm. Do you reach out to this Dean of Students, or do they reach out to you and like, hey, we want to interact with the students?
So we will try to work with as many departments on campus that will have us. So for like our fundraiser, when we do our 12-hour live stream on Twitch, we reached out to Dean Bessler again. We reached out to President Mangler. We reached out to some faculty and staff and invited them to the event. And it was wildly successful. I mean, people really enjoyed seeing Dr. King, you know, play Fall Guys as well. I mean, we had Dean Bessler play Fall Guys in the spring, but for us it's really about, you know, starting that conversation, building that bridge, and offering, you know, an opportunity to be a part of esports in some way. I mean, that could look, you know, that may look a lot of different ways, but we like to reach out to as many people as possible.
Well, I think that's good enough for my project. Well, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you for...
Sorry it was so noisy. I know we couldn't really narrow down a good place to talk, but hopefully you got everything you needed. If you need anything else, just let me know. But yeah, glad I could help.